Can you give me some relief?
Everybody, and welcome to episode 63 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always joined by the man who for the 32nd straight year was head ball boy at the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club, Brian. Brian, welcome back from across the pond. Another successful Wimbledon for you.
Well, for, you know, a lot of people go for the strawberries and cream. A lot of people go so that they could see the best that the tennis world has to offer. Myself, I like to go because I get to spend some quality time with my old college roommate, Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yeah, I saw Woody was over at Wimbledon this year. Seemed a little intense at times.
Woody's been known to enjoy a glass of wine. The way he was behaving at certain times, I'm not sure that that's a reaction you get from just wine. But I mean, there was some really intense lip licking.
He had a little bit of dry mouth.
Yeah, which I don't know that you get from drinking Chardonnay.
He also apparently was not aware of the etiquette in tennis, where you're just not able to just come and go from the stands as you please. You do need to wait for the changeover every two games.
It happens.
And you know what? At least he didn't do the Hollywood star thing and try and push his way through. So we'll give him that much.
Well, I know that's how you handle things.
That's how I do it all the time, living life that way.
Damn right.
So we don't have any strawberries and cream this week, but what we do have...
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Pause.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
So again, wanting to show off our fancy new shot glasses, we had another shot versus shot contest. Apocalypse Now going up against Bazooka Joe. The winner was Apocalypse Now, 67% to 33%. Brian, you were the one who picked out the shots this week. Explain yourself.
Well, what I was hoping for was to add some diversity. Last week we were doing vodka shots, so it was very clear. Vodka was the main ingredient in our shots last week. This week, I wanted to try something different. So I went for two different extremes. One was, and obviously in hindsight, I realized this was just a terrible mistake. Terrible mistake, I say, because it was. So we started with, I threw out the Bazooka Joe shot, which was something that was supposed to... be similar to bubble gum. So it had some banana liqueur, it had some sloe gin, and I believe it also had some Jägermeister. Then we also went up against, we threw in the mix, we had the Apocalypse Now, which I wish I had read the description of, because even the description said, albeit not being a great tasting shot, .. So, the Apocalypse Now is a 50-50 mix of dry vermouth with tequila, and then you float Bailey's Irish cream on top.
Which mine did not float.
Oh, no. Mine is actually curdled inside of the tequila. So I can only imagine what this is going to do to the insides of my stomach. I really wish the people had gone with the Bazooka Joe.
My favorite part of the listing of the recipe was, yes, where they say you're probably not going to like this shot. It might surprise you and you might like it. So I am going to have you do this shot first since it was your call.
All right.
And we will see your reaction to this. So again, it's a 1/2 ounce of vermouth, 1/2 ounce of tequila, 1/2 ounce of Irish cream. Brian's got his custom Ron and Brian shot glass up to lips. Shoot it down, my friend. And there it goes. And oh, did it come out? Did he spit it all over his living room? He is down.
No.
Down goes Frazier.
The Bailey's actually forms a solid chunk. So this is actually, it does almost become a cement-like mixture in there. Oh. Be prepared for it. So the tequila and the vermouth are liquid. The Bailey's actually hardens inside. So it's like your, it's like mashed whey. It's like cottage cheese that has been tampered down. Good luck.
Let me do this shot while you explain the consistency of
this. It's really, I mean, I've never seen anything like this. I would have imagined that that it would have combined some way, but the Bailey's does not combine in any way with the other two.
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. The taste isn't horrible.
No,
like not at all. It's actually a decent taste, but yes, the consistency and the fact that Irish cream just really seems to harden up in there just really makes it an unpleasant experience.
What makes me the most nervous right now is that I poured myself three shots.
You did. That's insane. But people do love Drunk Brian, so we will see how that goes throughout the night. I see your little drink shot tray there. Very impressive. I grabbed a beer. I'm going with Horny Goat Brewing and their Pineapple Hefeweizen to wash this down.
Yeah, it's really not it doesn't taste bad. I'm wondering get a spoon and try and like mash it up a little bit.
I would say if it was blended, it might not be half bad.
I'm going to be right back, Ron.
All right, so Brian's going to walk away from the podcast, get himself a spoon. In the meantime, we can move on because we don't need Brian for this next thing. This is, of course, This Week in Racing.
This
week
in
racism.
All right, we had a hot contest this past week, but Chris Cooker came out on top. Winning 60% to 40%, knocking off defending champ Ethan Kozak. So now Chris will be trying to get his second win, which has been tough to find for some people this year. And after kind of a dearth of racism over the past couple of weeks, racism came back hot and heavy. Down in Georgia, a white woman is suing her former landlords, saying they evicted her because she would have black guests over at the house that she rented from them. Victoria Sutton filed suit against Patricia and Alan McCoy last Wednesday. In their defense, Patricia McCoy stated, quote, "I've got best friends, that's black people." The National Republican Congressional Committee came under fire recently for sending out a fundraising email using a photo of Colin Kaepernick, in which Kaepernick's photo was altered to make him look darker. Down in Eustis, Florida, a pair of women were caught on video in a Burger King verbally abusing the manager, telling him to, quote, "go back to Mexico" if he wanted to speak Spanish. The manager, Ricardo Castillo, let the pair know that he is actually from Puerto Rico and then kicked them out of the restaurant. Staying down south, shockingly enough, in Tomball, Texas, a waitress at a Buffalo Wild Wings commented to a black customer while checking her ID, quote, "don't take this racially, but sometimes the only way you can tell with black people is from their eyes and their smiles because it's so dark." Ugh. The waitress also mentioned that her son-in-law and grandson were black. That waitress has since been fired. Just a rule of thumb for anyone out there, if you are starting a sentence, "don't take this racially," do not finish your sentence.
I think that anytime you offer a conditional statement, you're about to contradict yourself. Like anytime you say, like, "hey, don't be offended by this," or "don't take this the wrong way," you're about to take something the wrong way. They know you're going to take something.
But I'm not a racist. Anyway, in Ohio, a white security guard pulled a gun on a black police officer who was in uniform at the time. Lucas County Sheriff's Deputy Alan Gaston stopped by a local IRS office to ask a question about a letter he had received. When security guard Seth Eklund asked him to leave his gun in his car, Gaston informed him that as a police officer, he was not allowed to do so. At that point, Eklund pulled his gun, and Gaston decided to leave the office. Eklund followed Gaston down the hallway with his gun still drawn, attempting to take the police officer into custody. Unfortunately, the whole situation was caught on video, and Eklund was later arrested and charged with one count of aggravated menacing. Gaston and his wife has also filed a civil lawsuit against Eklund and the security company he works for. And then in Tennessee, some celebration this past weekend, it was Nathan Bedford Forrest Day in the state, a day to honor the former Confederate general and early Ku Klux Klan leader whose bust is on display in the state capitol. The governor, Bill Lee, is required by law to issue the proclamation for this day of honor, as well as proclamations for Robert E. Lee Day, Confederate Decoration Day, and the birthday of Confederate President Jefferson Davis. Lee acknowledged the protests of some of his citizens over these days, but stated that he is bound by the law. He declined to comment on whether the law should be changed. But our contestant is actually local to me, Brian, Abington, PA. Johanny Santana was in line to buy groceries when a woman behind her in line became upset that she was speaking Spanish. When Santana engaged the woman, she started to berate her, mentioning, among other things, hoping that Donald Trump would deport her. We do have audio from a video that was shot. I did edit some of the gaps out, but this will give you a gist of the conversation between the two women.
Are you probably from the speak Spanish?
Can you stop talking to me?
No, do not talk for puta, okay? Because puta is not good.
You are puta.
Wow, your problem, okay?
Okay, then, my problem.
No, pendejo, you. Hey, you not speak.
I was born here. You don't belong here.
Yeah, I don't care. Me 6 years here. On your problem, I don't care. You racist.
You
racist.
You should be deported.
Man, I don't care, yo.
You don't belong here.
Man, what the fuck is that? She's problem for me. I speak Spanish.
You don't belong here.
Man, I don't care. Fuck you. Fuck you. I don't care. Me living here, country 6 years. You not like Spanish? Your problem. It's your problem, okay? You puta, hey. What the? Hello?
Goodbye. Adios. Bye, pues.
Puta significa bitch, okay?
Adios.
So, what the fuck? Mira tus palabras. Yeah, what? ¿Qué tú me dices a mí?
Adios.
You racista. You racist. You not call it Spanish?
Legal money.
Oh, yeah, I don't care.
Not drug money.
Fuck you.
Stupid.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. We do not have a name for that woman.
I'm sorry. I hear two pieces of trash. I hear two garbage people. Like, as much as you want to call this a racist act, and clearly, talking about deporting, all that kind of stuff. But the Hispanic woman here is certainly not taking the high road.
Well, and they did speak to her. The news did speak to her afterwards, and she did apologize for her behavior. She regrets her language. She said that, you know, she felt uncomfortable because she really doesn't know a lot of English and didn't feel that she knew enough to really be able to defend herself.
Well, she knows a lot of important words.
She knows the good ones.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know Spanish, and I know what puta and pendejo mean. So
yes.
I mean, that's just how you just tend to learn those words from other languages. So
especially when you live in suburban Philadelphia.
So I guess we'll just call her the Abington racist, and she'll be going up against Chris Cooker, going for win number two. Brian, from your comments, I'm guessing you're feeling this should be a win number two for Chris.
I'm going Chris Cooker. I see this as two people who have an issue with each other that became racial. Whereas I think last week our winner here, Chris Cooker, I think he was just bringing 100% hard racism to the table. I think I'm going to break my streak this week.
You think so? See, I would argue definitely a disagreement between two people, but I don't think that Santana made it racial. She could have made comments about the white woman, about her ethnicity, but just really cursed at her, whereas the other woman really brought race and, you know, the dog whistle of deportation and illegal immigration and everything else into the mix. That's what does it for me, personally.
I'm not saying she's not guilty of a racially charged offense. Not criminal, but just being an offensive human being.
All right. Well, it'll be up to our fans to decide. So go to the Facebook page or the Twitter page and vote for This Week in Racism. We also forgot to mention, if you want to suggest any drinks for Drink of the Week, you can do that Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or go to the website, hit up the Contact Us page, and send us some suggestions. In the meantime, let's roll on over to Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
Well, I'm going, this sounds petty. This is just the thing that's, I've come up across this about three times this week. The lousy produce at my grocery store.
Oh, all right. Go with it. Talk to me.
They specialize in produce. Literally, it's what they sell. My supermarket, I don't buy produce there because I say, you know what? There's actually a grocery store that specializes in fruits and vegetables, and I want to give them my financial support. I want to help keep them in business. And you know, the apples all have dings on them. The lettuce appears already to be wilting. And I think I will never go back there again.
No. That's upsetting. I actually have stopped going to a certain grocery store because of their produce, so I can relate and understand where you're coming from. Especially if your specialty is supposed to be produce. Like, we have a chain up down here called Produce Junction, and you would say, this is a junction where I can go get produce, but
of course,
the one by us, the produce is pretty damn crappy.
So where do you buy your produce?
I get it from my supermarket, because we don't have a ton of great places to get produce around here.
All right. What's your beef of the week, Ronald?
So my beef of the week is concert drink prices, which have just gotten absolutely ridiculous. The wife and I, Friday night, we went down to the Metropolitan Theater to see Weird Al Yankovic in concert. And obviously you want to have a few drinks. So my wife was having a double shot of Tito's and grapefruit juice. How much do you think that's going to set you back?
I'm going to say $21.
Close, and you're in New York, so I get that. $19.
Yeah, that's ludicrous.
And then I was drinking, at least I had a tall boy. It was Golden Road Brewing, their Wolf Pup IPA. Got a 25-ounce can for $17.
Which Jesus!
Wasn't bad, but you know, you had to weigh it out between spending $12 for like just a regular size can of like Stella. So yeah, so each round of drinks, you know, after tax and tip, you're shelling out 40 plus 50 bucks a pop.
Yeah.
And I'm spending more money on alcohol than we did on the tickets to the show itself.
So, how was the show while we're talking?
I mean, for me, I liked it. You know, I am the
That's not a real convincing let's go with it.
So I will say this, you know, my wife is a good sport in that this is the second time she's gone to see Weird Al with me. I was
Weird
Al.
Hence the double Tito's.
hence knowing that she needed to be drunk.
She knew what she was walking into. Yeah.
So we went to the show a couple of years ago, and she actually really enjoyed it. He puts on a great stage show, costumes, video, and he played more of his parody songs and not a lot of his original music. And I think that's why she liked it a couple of years ago. This time around, he kind of mixed in more of his original stuff, even some of it that I'm not familiar with. So she got drunk and bored. So it got at one point I thought she was just going to fall asleep in the seat of her chair, but she didn't. So,
what kind of original stuff does Weird Al do?
I mean,
I'm unaware that he has any original stuff. And I'm shocked to hear that charging, you know, theater level prices, that he would actually go out there and do something other than a parody.
I mean, if you're a Weird Al fan, he's got certain songs of his, and he always does songs in like a certain genre of music. Like, one of his bigger hits is Dare to Be Stupid, which is very much a Devo-esque type song. He's done love song type parodies, things like that. So they're not, you know, they're original, but they're still absurd. They're supposed to, okay. You know, they're just supposed to, you know, it's not like, you know, he's not doing like a legitimate song. He's doing a song of his that's a parody of a genre of music.
Okay, all right, that makes more sense.
So you're good with that. And he was also backed up with a 41-piece orchestra this time.
Now, what I read was that he's working with different philharmonics as he's traveling the country.
Yes, so he was working with the Philadelphia Philharmonic Orchestra this time around, and so it was, you know, we weren't sure what to expect. Like when we saw him a couple of years ago, he didn't have an opening act, so we sit down. You know, they start. You know, showtime was 8:00. They started right at 8:00. I respect that. I hate when you sit around for like 30, 45 minutes waiting for concerts to start.
Right.
So the orchestra comes out. They start playing the music from, what was it? Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones. Okay. Everybody kind of laughs. I'm like, haha, yes, Indiana Jones. And then they play the whole song through. And then they just start playing like, yeah, they play the James Gunn theme. Or not James Gunn. Who was the... dun, 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 dun. Roger Gunn, whatever that theme was.
No, that was Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible, but there's a name to the actual song, which I'm drawing a blank on. Anyway, and like Star Wars. So they literally played for like a half hour just orchestra versions of, you know, popular movie songs. And then we had a 20-minute intermission.
They did not play an orchestra, a full orchestra version of the Ron and Brian podcast theme song?
They did not. I had hoped for it. I shouted it out from my seats. Just wasn't meant to be.
So, there was no tuba section doing like, you know, the intro notes.
Nope.
Burr, 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 burr.
None of that. Burr, burr, none burr, of
burr,
that.
Burr, 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 burr.
So overall, I will say enjoyable. Didn't like the theater that much. Again, on top of the drink prices, apparently the parking situation, you need to buy your parking when you buy your tickets or you don't get parking. Like,
because the parking sells out?
Apparently, yeah. Because they sell it ahead of time, there is limited lots. There's like 3 lots around the theater, and you pay, that's $40.
Right.
And then if you want to walk 6 to 10 blocks, that parking's $30. So I'm like, well, if I got to pay $30 to park and I got to walk 10 blocks and it's $20 each way on Uber, I might as well just Uber and not even screw around with it. So
and then you can really start drinking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was like that opened the floodgates. I was like, well, I can get pretty drunk right now. I mean, after my third beer, I'm like, you know, do I want to make my mortgage payment or do I want to have another drink? Another thing I've realized about myself is I have an anxiety about approaching famous people in public. So at the concert, I know you're not going to know who this individual is, but former ECW, WWE superstar, the Blue Meanie, lives in Philadelphia. I'm friends with him on Facebook, and he posted that, hey, excited to be at my very first Weird Al concert, and actually posted a picture of his ticket so you knew where he was sitting. And like as we're walking through the theater, see him, see his girlfriend, and my wife's like, do you want to go take a picture? And I'm just like, I don't want to be that guy. And I'm just, but then okay. I'm thinking to myself, but if he didn't want people to approach him, would he have posted a photo of his ticket? Or just likely was not. He just not thinking? See, I just don't like being...
Probably wasn't thinking.
I have an issue just approaching celebrities. Like, I feel like I'm going to be bothering them if they're not somewhere doing an appearance or anything like that.
I think that the way I approach this, or at least approach deciding whether to approach celebrities, is, to me, it's the tiers of the celebrity and the venue that you're meeting them in.
Okay.
If you are at a concert where somebody has posted a photo of their ticket, I don't think there's anything wrong with approaching them and saying, big fan.
Fair enough.
I have seen, you know, I live in New York, which is, you know, secondary to Hollywood. in terms of celebrities. You know, it's actually, you know, become a daily occurrence, you know, in the world that I grew up in. But there have been times where I'll be on a subway platform and I'll see a famous comedian that I follow. If they're just standing there by themselves, I've stopped and said hello to them. I've said big fan. And then I make a point of walking away.
All right.
Because my whole goal there is to let them know that A, I recognize them. B, I appreciate their artwork. And C, I'm going to give them some space. I'm not going to sit there and be like, hey, you know, remember the show you did 2 years ago? It was, you know, I was sitting in the fourth. Like, they don't want to have that level of interaction.
Right.
So, like, I think to a certain extent, it's, hey, you know, I'm a fan. I appreciate what you've done. You've brought me some enjoyment. I recently saw Paul Giamatti on the street walking in Manhattan. I was walking north on Park Avenue, not to brag. He was walking south with a lady friend of his. Like, there was no doubt about it. This was Paul Giamatti.
Right.
It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. He was walking south. I was walking north. I literally walked right past him, probably about a foot away. And I looked at him, said to myself, that's Paul Giamatti. And I just kept walking. I felt like in that moment, he's just going for a walk with whomever his female friend is. And I didn't want to bother him. Like I just said, you know what? He's walking from point A to point B, and I don't want to stop him so I could say, hey, big fan, and then turn around and walk away. And heaven forbid I be that asshole that says, can I take a picture?
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's also, you know, Paul, it's also Giamatti. Like, it's right. There's degrees of it. Like, if I saw Weird Al, I might say, hey, can I get a picture?
Fair enough. I think if the Blue Meanie maybe had been in, like, the lobby where I could have just kind of walked up and been like, hey, you know, big fan, whatever. You know, he's sitting down. He's in the middle of the aisle. You know, now it's like me, like, barreling down this aisle towards him.
And, asking people to get out of your way.
Asking people, excuse me, pardon me. And then it's like, yeah, I don't know. Let me ask you this. I once saw Glenn Close in a Ben & Jerry's in Mount Kisco.
Yeah, I think you got to hit her up.
Did not.
That's Glenn Close.
And you know the shocking thing? And this was a long time ago. Like, this was Fatal Attraction Glenn Close.
Oh, my gosh. Did she have that like, curly red pube hair?
She did. No one in the Ben & Jerry's disturbed her.
Yeah, I respect that. I think, you know, and I think nowadays people are just so self-absorbed that for them it's about, you know, with social media, I want to take a picture with someone so I can show to my friends that I met this person and not respecting their privacy or whatnot. So I think I give you kudos. Like,
did I ever tell you the Dave Winfield story?
No, not at all.
The one time I kind of broke my own personal protocol, I had gotten tickets to a University of Pennsylvania college basketball game because they're clients of the hotel. And they gave me backstage passes to go to, like, the little alumni club where there's food and drink and everything else.
Right.
And I walk in there, and who's sitting there but Dave Winfield, because this kid goes to UPenn.
Did George Steinbrenner have a private investigator standing in the corner of the room hunting, like, taking notes?
Possibly. You know, okay. It was a crowded room. So, perfectly fine. I mean, you know, I'm a huge Yankees fan. You're a huge Yankees fan.
Oh, my
gosh. What would your initial reaction be if you walk into a room and unexpectedly Dave Winfield's there?
I would make a beeline right to him, and I would make the biggest ass of myself.
Thank you. I didn't make a direct...
I wouldn't even hesitate. I wouldn't hesitate. I wouldn't even get a drink first. I wouldn't get food first. I would go straight to him and start talking about how when he came on to the team, it was like a yin-yang to Reggie Jackson. Like, he brought class to the organization.
Yeah. I didn't make a direct beeline, but I looked and I'm like, holy shit, that's Dave Winfield. And my wife was like, I have no idea who that is. I'm like...
Right.
You don't understand. This is Dave Winfield.
Winfield.
This is Dave motherfucking Winfield of the New York Yankees. So I eventually, she was like, why don't you just go over to him? Because he looks bored with the people he's talking with. I'm like, all right, fair enough. Went over there, and initially, yes, he was very generous. And then I just became like every 12-year-old boy out there. Like, I'm just a huge fan, Mr. Winfield. I just loved watching you. And then he's like, what's your name? And I give him my whole name. Like, he wants my last name for some reason. So then finally I'm like, would you mind if we took a picture? And if I'll have to show you this picture. It maybe I'll post the picture on her Instagram later.
You have to post it now.
If you want to see a photograph of a man wishing he was anywhere else, interacting with anywhere else in the world than he was at that exact moment in time, that right. is Dave Winfield's face in this picture.
Got it. Yeah, no, you have to post it. I saw last year I was out for dinner and I saw Greg Popovich.
Yes.
The NBA Pops. Basketball coach.
I remember you posted your photo of that. Again, Popovich is a legend.
No, I'll tell you something. I kind of knew who he was. I was so fired up on like six McAllens by the time I walked out of that dinner that as we were walking out of the restaurant, we were walking by a different restaurant and one of my buddies sat there and said, "Hey, that's Greg Popovich." I turned around and I literally just went like this, "Popovich!" And I just like made a beeline right to him. And like at that point, that guy had no choice but to take my photo. Like I was, I started rambling about how like, you know, I love the fact that he spoke his mind and that, you know, he wasn't afraid of the commissioner. I mean, I literally made a drunken ass of myself. But at the time with the, you know, I had the liquid courage in me and I didn't mind.
Right. Hey, listen, sometimes you take your shot. So long story short, go see Weird Al if he comes to your town. It was a fun time for me. If your wife's not a fan, maybe leave her at home.
Trick is drink in the parking lot. Buy the parking passes before, tailgate in the parking lot, and then go see Weird Al.
I mean, hindsight being 2020, since we knew we were taking the Uber, we should have just had some drinks at home. Got a little buzzed at first, and that way we wouldn't have needed as much at the show.
That would have made sense.
All right.
However, well, I would like to say one thing.
Yeah.
That if you are a listener of the Ron and Brian podcast and you see either Ron or I in public, do not hesitate to come up and say hello. I mean, we love meeting our fans.
We do. We love every time I run into somebody on the street and they're like, "Hey, big fan.
If only there was an event coming up where people would have the ability to
so come you're saying meet us. If there was like a public place, a gathering place,
yeah.
Almost like a festival like atmosphere where we could were be. Going to be attending and other people could come in free yeah. of charge and see Ron and Brian.
Free of charge.
Free of charge.
If except only, for the drinks, where, food and where could this be?
Well, that might be Tattooed Mom, 530 South Street. That's right. We're just a few days away. Wednesday. What the hell am I saying? Saturday, July 20th, 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. We will be part of the Philadelphia Podcast Festival at Tattooed Mom. I've been told it's actually closer to 6th and South. I keep saying 5th and South. But regardless, if you're on South Street between 5th and 6th, you should be able to find the place.
So if you're a big fan of the Philly soccer show and you're coming out to Tattooed Moms at 1:30, come on out an hour earlier. Watch Ron and I open up the day of events at Tattooed Moms. We are starting the day at 12:30. Frankly, some people have said, you know, you're the opening band. That's the slot. You know, I see it completely the opposite. I think we set the table.
That's
you know,
right.
We are the cocktail that you have at the table before you're about to have a meal. Like that cocktail is either going to make your meal or it's going to ruin it. And we're showing up. We're going to make it. We're going to make the
it's
day.
It's kind of like when David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar were touring together. If David Lee Roth went on first, do you think he considered himself the opening act?
No, not at all.
Exactly. So neither do we, but we hope you all come on out. Again, Tattooed Mom, this Saturday, the 20th, 12:30 p.m.
And we're going to have stuff for listeners. We're going to have some stickers.
Magnets.
We're going to have magnets. We're going to have shot glasses that you can make your own apocalypse now.
And we've got some hats, even.
And we're going to have hats. So bring some cash, because Uncle Sam doesn't need to know about any monetary transactions. And so bring your wallets and some cash and let's have some fun. It's going to be a great hour. We're going to do an hour live podcast. We have a lot of ideas. Audience participation is going to be key on this. I mean, obviously we're going to be doing, you know, there's some bits where Ron and I are going to be on our own, but we want the audience to be as the third member. We want
be vocal.
We want the audience to be Ringo, basically. Like if you're Paul and I'm John, I want the audience to be Ringo.
Yeah, and if the Philly Soccer guys happen not to show up, we'll do another hour.
I think you and I have proven that we can do 5 hours by ourselves.
Yes, no question whatsoever. Brian, you were involved in the great New York City blackout of 2019 this past Saturday, weren't you?
I was in the thick of it. I was in the thick of it. I showed some deep lack of understanding of what a blackout is in New York City. I'll tell you about it. I also showed in New York, it's one big happy family, and with some dedication to a goal, you can make anything happen. I was in the city this past Saturday meeting a friend for dinner. I was going to meet him outside Penn Station, which is right in Midtown West. It's on 33rd. When I got there a little early, as I am wont to do, and I could not help but notice all the bridge and tunnel crowd that was coming into town to see Jennifer Lopez do her the party's over at the tour that she's doing right now. It was at the Garden on Saturday night, so I show up there, and holy shit. Nothing like women in their mid-40s who have raided their 21-year-old daughter's wardrobe. I mean, I saw just a lot of skin that I didn't want to see. I saw some women who just like, I mean, and I don't mean to body shame, because you know what? Every human body in its own way, just beautiful. You know, I love tall women. I love short women. I love thick women. I love thin women. What I don't love is just a woman who's just packed her whole body into what looks like cellophane that's been sequined by a bedazzler, and she's wearing like a ridiculous amount of makeup, and she's screaming at her husband, who looks miserable to be there. Not to ramble, but I think no. I've fallen. So I'm standing outside Penn Station, meet my buddy, we jump in a cab, head uptown, went to Harlem, because, you know, I'd like to say that, you know, I don't abide by 1980s neighborhood rules. You know, New York City is now one glorious city, and that's where, you know, if Harlem is where I'm going to Harlem. So we went up to Harlem, had some really good barbecue, a Dinosaur Barbecue.
Oh, I am familiar with Dinosaur Barbecue, actually based out of Syracuse, New York.
There you go. They are located on 125th, right off the West Side Highway. My buddy and I, and so while we're at dinner, our phones start blowing up about a blackout in a shortage of electricity, a loss of electricity. Amtrak is affected. New York City subways are affected. And we're just like, whatever. Let's have another beer. I think we were about two pitchers in at this point. Dinner's finally over. We call an Uber. We get in the Uber and we start heading downtown. By the time we hit, and we're going down the West Side Highway, which I know you're very familiar with, by the time we got to about the mid-50s, it suddenly dawned upon us that when they said a loss of electricity, the entire fucking West Side of Manhattan had no power.
Oh, yeah, literally, the whole thing was shut down.
Building after building, block after block, zero lights. Finally, our taxi gets off at 33rd Street, tries to head east, but there are state troopers that have blocked off the street corners, preventing us from going east. So I've got, once again, a little bit of liquid courage in my blood. So as at one point we are trying to make a right, there's a police car there, lights spinning, and I roll down my window, and the police officer, it was a very nice young lady, said, "You gotta keep moving. And I said, "Well, how are we gonna get east?" And she said, "You're gonna have to figure out a way." And I said, "But I'm trying to get east." Kind of a dick. I was being kind of a dick. I'll be the first to admit it.
All right.
I was using a tone that was not what I would consider speaking politely to a peace officer. Now, this might be white privilege that I felt I could get away with it. And the truth of the matter was, I did get away with it, because I sat there and said, "Well, then how are we, you know," I used an indignant tone. Like, in hindsight, it was rather embarrassing. So the woman just said to me, "Well, if you can't take a car any further east, then you're just going to have to walk." And one thing I will say about myself is that when I am wrong, and I have been pointed out that I have been wrong in a logical manner, I will be the first to admit that I have been wrong.
This is true.
Because at that moment, as soon as she said, well, then you're just going to have to walk east, I sat there and said to her, okay, you have a point. You are right. So rolled up the window, told the Uber driver we were gone, walked out of the cab, and we walked from the West Side Highway and 32nd Street all the way to Penn Station, which is, I would say, probably about four avenues across. And keep in mind, there is no lights in this.
Right.
So all you have are very polite, gentrified New Yorkers of various ethnicities, but pretty much of a very similar socioeconomic background. Not one person had the thought of looting. I did not feel unsafe at any moment. Half the people were walking using the flashlights on their phones, getting from point A to point B, having just polite conversation. There were, you know, women who were scantily clad in the summer heat were not made to feel uncomfortable as if there was a threat of any sexual attack against them. It was the politest New York I have ever experienced. We finally make it to Penn Station, go down the steps into Penn Station proper, and all that's on are emergency lights. So there's some, every now and then you've got some lights in the ceilings, but other than that, absolutely nothing. Walk over to where the Amtrak is. Everything is off. All the signs are off, whatnot. It literally, power came in while I was waiting in the Amtrak, the 8th Avenue area of Penn Station, to a massive uproar of people who seemed incredibly pleased that the electricity was back. And at that point, holy shit, everybody was trying to take the same train.
Oh, yeah.
Which was going the wrong direction. So I went upstairs, got my buddy in a cab, jumped in a cab myself, headed east, and I was home in about 25 minutes.
All right. So I survived. A decent end to the night then.
It was eventful. I mean, I'm glad that I didn't have tickets to the Jennifer Lopez concert, because the way the reviews made it seem, those people got to see about two songs before the electricity went out, and then they were told to go to exit in a safe and orderly fashion.
All right, can I give our fans a little behind the scenes experience for a quick moment here? Because I know you love when I call you out, and if I could call you out just one more time, you folks out in the audience, you don't understand the technical genius that it takes for me to put together the show in each every week, because we've had some issues in the past with Brian's microphone popping in certain channels, and I fix it. And I just make a simple request to Brian each and every episode. I say, if you could keep a certain distance away from the microphone, it corrects that.
Right.
What Brian was just doing could be filed on YouPorn under microphone fellatio. That is how close his mouth was to the microphone just now. And I'll fix it. I'm just saying.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks a lot. All right. Yeah, maybe I got a little close to it. I didn't think I was that bad.
Get away from the microphone. I'm just going to use the aqua lung riff anytime I have to call Brian out.
Okay.
Brian's drunk on Apocalypse Now. Anyway, a little behind the scenes for you right there. I thought you guys might like it. I also like to bust Brian's balls from time to time.
We can also edit that out, that whole part in post.
Possibly. But I like it. I like it because I'm talking.
You just like being right.
At times. Well, people whose balls we can't bust anymore. A number of celebrity deaths this past week. First and foremost, Rip Torn passed away. Big fan of his work on the Gong Show. He would throw the glitter around. He was just crazy. You remember him from the Gong Show, right?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking Rip Taylor. Well, who the hell's Rip Torn?
Rip Torn was on the, Artie on the Larry Sanders Show.
He
was nominated for 6 Emmy Awards. He won an American Comedy Award for Supporting Male in a Series. He won 2 Cable Ace Awards. Also was Chief Zed in Men in Black.
No, that's right, yeah.
You know, cousin of Sissy Spacek.
True.
Rip Torn. He was a member of the Texas A&M University Corps of Cadets.
I will say,
made his debut in 1956 in the film Baby Doll.
I was a huge fan of...
Also starred in the movie Porkchop Hill.
The Larry Sanders Show. The
brother-in-law of Gary Peck.
Do you know what clip I saw someone
also
was playing?
Also starred in 1965 Cincinnati Kid.
You're killing me. You know what they were playing earlier today, the clip from the Larry Sanders Show?
Which one?
Which, if you think about it, it's sad now. Both Gary Shandling and Rip Torn are gone. It's just Jeffrey Tambor that's really left. But it was a scene. Jeffrey Tambor was Hank. Great character on the show. And Hank was talking about, you know, how he's able to handle hecklers in the audience. And he goes to Rip Torn and he says, just heckle me. And Rip's like, I've had a long day. I don't really, no, just heckle me. I want to. And he, Rip Torn, just fucking tears in to Hank. Just like, you're just Larry Sanders, fuck bitch. And like, just goes off on like a 5-minute tear. And Hank's just crying at the end of it. But he was a very funny man. I loved him in Dodgeball, another movie he was in.
Yes.
A ton of TV, ton of movie appearances.
And there was also that time when he broke into the Litchfield Bancorp branch in Lakeville, Connecticut, because he was coming home from the bar, broke into the bank thinking it was his home, and was charged with carrying a firearm without a permit, carrying a firearm while intoxicated, first-degree burglary, second-degree criminal trespassing, and third-degree criminal mischief.
But the funny thing was, and again, I don't know if this is more fame or if this is more white privilege or a combination of the two. He didn't get arrested that night.
No.
I thought I was at my house. So they took him home. It wasn't until it made the papers that the police were like, well, I guess we got to charge him with something.
No. Rip Torn he was one of those guys where didn't get a lot of work, but he had the ability to take a role and really stand out in a cast where a lesser actor would have just been seen as another supporting character in that.
I mean, if only there was somebody out there that could really speak to Rip Torn, speak about him in a way that no one else can.
Ron.
No?
Ron, no.
All right, sorry.
Ron. Rip Torn, it's that wound is too fresh.
All right, I thought maybe you were feeling it. Who else did we lose this week?
We lost New York Yankee pitcher Jim Boughton.
Pitcher and author. If
you start playing Take Me Out to the Ball Game slow jam version, I'm not going to be able to do it. So just don't. Jim Boughton came up with the Seattle Pilots, played with the Houston Astros, Atlanta Braves between the years of 1962-78, but will always be known for the time he spent as a New York Yankee, where albeit he had a celebrated career, it literally was when he authored the book Ball 4, which was a combination diary of his 1969 season and his memoir of years with the Yankees. That was when his name really shot to fame, he really peeled the first layer of the onion off of what was it like? What was life like being a baseball player before there was a lot of money in the sport? Was blacklisted by baseball for many years.
Yes,
you know he went up there and said, yeah, the baseball players drink a lot. Yeah, the baseball players don't make a lot of money and need to have second jobs during the off season. And it wasn't. And there was that little bit where he swapped wives with another player.
It was also Ball 4, a little bit of trivia for you, was the only sports book cited when the New York Public Library drew up its list of the best books of the 20th century.
Really?
Yeah, a little something for you there.
Didn't know that. Didn't know that.
We also lost a couple more sports people this week. Walt Michaels passed away.
Famous coach of the New York Jets, died at 89 this past week in his home in Plains, Pennsylvania. His big claim to fame was he took the Jets to the 1982 American Football Conference Championship game before they lost. Not the greatest football quarterback, but one where I think, you know, he made it. He really helped define what it was like to be a New York Jet head coach.
Agreed.
A lot, which meaning a lot of losses.
Yes, definitely. And then also, this was a tough one. Boxer Pernell Whitaker died at the age of, I believe it was 59, 55 perhaps.
Yeah.
Hit by a car the other day in Georgia. Brian, best known for?
Eating his spinach with Popeye.
So, won a silver medal as an amateur in the 1982 World Championships, followed by a gold at the 1983 Pan American Games, and also in the 1984 Olympics. Finished with a record of 40 wins, 4 losses, 1 draw, 1 no contest. Known by one of the best nicknames in all sports, Sweet Pea.
Yes. Not the worst death this week. I mean, ripped, torn.
But wait,
this
hold
one
on.
Took me.
Wait,
this one.
The man's name is Sweet Pea. I mean, if there's someone out there that deserves a slow jam, I would have to think it's a man by the name of Sweet Pea.
All right. Hold on. Let me try this. Turn my headphones up. Turn the music down. No, Ron, no. I can't.
All right. Sorry. I don't mean to push you, but...
Ron. You can't do it to me. I cannot do it.
Fair enough. I'm sorry. Well, who else did we lose this week, Brian?
Charles Levin.
Charles Levin. And who is that? How would we know him?
A lot of people would remember him as the nervous Moyle on Seinfeld.
From the Briss episode, correct?
Yes, where George moves. George flinches, excuse me.
That's right.
Doesn't George flinch, and there's a little bit more damage. He also had a recurring role in the series Alice, but unfortunately, Mr. Levin this past week did not have a good week, as he was his remains were found several hundred feet from his car in a remote area near Grants Pass, in southwestern Oregon. There's no way we could do a slow jam for him.
In addition, his dog, Boo Bear, was also found deceased inside the car with him.
Yeah, Boo Bear was dead.
So let's see here. I really wanted a slow jam this week from you, Brian, and you're kind of letting me down. No. Let me hold on. I'm going to scroll through here and see who... Brian, do you know that Denise Nickerson passed away?
Denise Nickerson? Why does that name ring a bell?
Denise Nickerson was Violet Beauregard in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original one with Gene Wilding.
She's the girl that ate the forbidden giant blueberry?
She ate the gum and she blew up into a giant blueberry. I mean, I know it's kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, but I think you would want to do some sort of slow jam for.
There's no way we could do that. Oompa Loompa, good night, Denise. You died this week, looking like a beast. Oompa Loompa, good night, Denise. Gene Wilder's dead, his soul is at peace. What do you get when you had one roll? Milking it for your life's bankroll. Signing autographs at Chiller Theater. Standing next to that dude, Vern Troyer. Nobody can be proud of that life. Oompa Loompa, good night, Denise. You just died, I'll call the police. It's blueberry sky time, Denise. Like Oompa Loompa Loompa Doopity-Doo.
Very nice. I knew I could get one out of you. Very nice.
Just Denise Nickerson. Listen, I Willy Wonka was just a movie that I don't know about your connection with it, but for me, if it was ever on, regardless of what time of the day, you know, Saturday at 3 o'clock, Saturday at 5 o'clock, I watched it. You know, there were a lot of things in that story that didn't really make a lot of sense to young Brian, but I still watched it. And to see, you know, the greats, Denise Rickerson, just passed away, it really hurts. Just hurts.
I was a big fan of the Grandpa Joe character. I mean, I respect the fact that he was able to, like, sleep in a bed for 30 years, but then when something cool really popped up, Well, all of a sudden I can walk and I can put on clothes again.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he was teaching the kids a really bad lesson.
What else has been hot this week? Oh, the bottle cap twist challenge was hot last week. Everyone roundhouse kicks, figuring out ways to flip the bottle cap off by just kicking it. Brian, did you try the twist challenge this week?
Ron, I do not believe in doing any type of internet challenge, and I genuinely lose respect for people that do internet challenges.
Do you? Why is that?
I hate the sheep-like mentality of somebody's doing something and making a video and putting it on the internet. Well, I'm going to do it myself because I should have people, watching me do something just as... I mean, do you remember the Bird Box challenge from last year?
After the Netflix movie Bird Box came out? I do, yes.
Of course. It had people attempting everyday activities fully blindfolded while being recorded. Examples like attempting to cook, walk in busy streets, drive... I mean, it was just stupid. Don't forget, there was the cheese challenge. Did you do that?
Was that the one where you would throw a slice of cheese onto a baby?
Yes. How about the cinnamon challenge?
The cinnamon, now you're going old school with that one. That's, I think, one of the original challenges where people would try and swallow, a teaspoon of cinnamon?
Spoonful of cinnamon under 60 seconds without drinking anything.
Which is actually quite dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. It resulted in coughing, gagging, vomiting, inhaling of cinnamon, leading to throat irritation, breathing difficulties, risk of pneumonia, and just being a fucking idiot.
There was also, I think we had covered the no lack-in challenge earlier this year.
That didn't catch on as much as I hoped that it would.
Probably because early on there were people getting shot and killed over it.
I think you did the ice bucket challenge.
The ice bucket challenge is, at least that was for a good cause. So you could somewhat excuse people for doing that one.
Did you do the Tide Pod challenge?
I did not. Again, people could die from that, but maybe that's how you thin the herd.
Did you ever do the mannequin challenge?
No, that was just plain stupid. That one I hate.
I think all these things are stupid, and it's like, and what bothers me is the fact that my Facebook and Instagram feed are just literally inundated with people trying to figure out ways to throw a football and a hockey puck and swing like their ball sack. flip. Now the one is that people are like with long hair are flipping their hair across a bottle cap. It's stupid. It's just all wasted time. I would much rather look at pictures of Jim Bouton.
All right. I mean, maybe that'll be the new challenge. Maybe it'll be the Ron and Brian Celebrity Obituary Challenge, where people
think
have to
we can
look
do
at,
it.
People have to look at photos of dead people that we mentioned on the episode.
Speaking of dead people, Donald Trump's administration this week, literally, I would say, had some bad PR. Would you agree with that?
I mean, it's rare that they have good PR, but I would say this week was worse than most.
And they could not have been more tone deaf. Literally, it almost is a case of how far can we go to piss off just the people that are looking for decency. Mike Pence, our vice president, toured one of the detention centers along the southern border, literally standing in a room with Lindsey Graham, surrounded by ICE agents or whomever the fuck they were. And he is on the other side of the room behind a chain link fence are Hispanic men that are literally packed into this small area, unable to sit down, all chanting that they've not been able to take a shower since they've been detained. Pence does not even make an effort to engage them, won't even walk over and introduce him and say, where are you from? Who are you? How long have you been here? Literally stands across like a football coach during an open call tryout, literally refuses to acknowledge that these people are there, are people, whatnot. Just awfulness.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the optics again. You know, the photos of Pence and Lindsey Graham standing outside the people behind fences were put side by side with photos of, you know, Nazi officers holding people in concentration camps. Yeah, I mean, it'll be very interesting to see 5, 10, 20 years from now how history looks at this administration, looks at the individuals involved, and how people are judged. You know, I mean,
and the thing that bothers me the most about this is, even if you are a staunch anti-immigrant, even if you feel that we need to close the borders and we need to build the wall and we need to do all of this, how do you justify holding these people in camps that are overcrowded, and not offer them the basic of hygiene? This is America. We are supposed to be a better country. This isn't the Sudan. This isn't Yemen. This isn't a Turkish prison, like Peter Graves once asked me about. This is America. Like, even if you're going to deport these people, they're still people. Sure, let's agree, you don't want them here.
And not only that, but private companies that run these detention camps are being paid on average $755 per day per person for what they're giving. So,
and they're not even giving them toothbrushes. It literally makes me sad about America. Not because I think that we should allow all these immigrants to into the country. I do believe we should have some type of process to take people in, but we also shouldn't feel obligated to take everybody in. But the fact that, like, we've got private companies making money off of this, and that we're not even treating people well. Like, these are still human beings, and this is America. Like, we pride ourselves on being the greatest country in the world, and here we are being no better than just dictatorships and totalitarian states that literally are just terrible places.
And the problem is, now private companies are making money off of this. It's being set up just like, the for-profit prison systems. And these private companies are major Republican Party donors. So regardless of the optics, this will continue as long as, as long as these private companies keep funneling their donations into, this political party.
Yeah, it made me sad, not because of what was happening to these immigrants in the sense of, these people should be let into the country, and not because, it's a Republican government and whatnot. But literally, it's just, this is America and we're better than this. Even if you're going to detain these people, treat them like people, treat them like human beings, deport them if that's going to be our ultimate plan. But don't lock them up in cages where they're overcrowded and you're not offering them even just the ability to lay down on the floor because you've packed them in so tightly. It just made me feel very sad to be an American. And then you back that up at the very same time as the federal government's doing these ICE raids throughout the country, and the optics are terrible. I think I don't know how this plays out.
Yeah. Although CNN is now reporting that immigrant rights active advocates are saying that they're seeing few signs of the ICE raids that are being touted starting on Sunday, even though Donald Trump insisted today that the raids have started have been very, very successful, very huge, very successful.
I think the big thing was the fact that the word got out that ICE was going to be conducting raids. And that gave enough people a heads up about what their rights were in case somebody knocked down their door, and also to hide or to go stay at relatives or whatnot. Like it gave them a heads up, which led me to believe that somebody who's in the know, whether it's somebody in the administration or somebody in the actual immigration and customs enforcement, leaked this information specifically to provide the immigrant community with time to properly defend themselves. At the same time, this is where I don't know, but the people they're going after are immigrants who have been ordered to be deported by our court system.
Well, what's also interesting is if you look at the 10 cities they're focusing on: San Francisco, LA, Denver, Houston, New Orleans, Miami, Atlanta, Chicago, Baltimore, New York. The bulk of those cities, heavily blue.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find illegal immigrants, you know, why not go to the heartland, to the farms in Texas, right, Arizona, where we know, you know, farmers are hiring illegal immigrants to do the work there. Right. But the red states get a pass on this.
Well, the red states will always get a pass from this administration. We know that.
And what about the 600,000 illegal immigrants in this country right now that come from European nations? Do they get a pass? Yes.
Yes.
Because of the color of their skin.
We want more people from Norway. Why doesn't anybody from Norway ever come here?
So
why are we getting all these people from these shit countries?
The fact that this is supposedly about cleaning up asylum, cleaning up immigration is bullshit. And that's why, you know, much respect to the congresswomen that came out and did the press conference earlier today, the squad, saying that Donald Trump supports white nationalism. It's 100% on point based on 100%. What we're seeing from the handling of immigration and ICE.
Yeah, no. He's, it's almost as if he's trying to see how far he can go to show support for white nationalists.
And then you get someone who nails who Donald Trump is perfectly, like this poor ambassador from the UK, and then he ends up having to resign. Even though there was nothing that he said that anyone could argue about in any way, shape, or form. And he came out, this week that after Trump pulled out of the Iran deal, you know, this ambassador's comment was that, you know, Trump is just trying to undo anything that Barack Obama did. And it was just diplomatic suicide.
Well, it's because we're so much better in the international world.
Oh yeah, we're so respected right now.
Yes,
we've hurt our relationship with our allies, with Great Britain, with Canada, with France, with Germany. We've propped up Kim Jong Un in North Korea, made him a legitimate leader by being photographed with the president. You know, there was a reason no U.S. president ever met with the leader of North Korea. Is you did not want to legitimize the regime they had over there. You didn't want to make them a legitimate nuclear power. And Trump has been played by North Korea to a T, and he has yet to realize it.
They've got good barbecue there. You have to admit, and maybe that's why Donald Trump is all about North Carolina right now. He loves the barbecue.
He's a KFC
likes
guy.
He likes a vinegary sauce. You know, he's not about the ketchup base. He likes the vinegar base. I mean, if there's anything, you know, that we can do that will, you know, upset our allies even more, it's to meet up at 530 South Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, this Saturday at Tattooed Moms as Ron and Brian take over the Philadelphia Podcast Festival.
Yes, please join
Saturday,
us.
July 20th, 12:30.
All right, anything else this week, or have we pretty much covered it all?
I think we should eat horses. I think just wherever, you know, go to Santa Ana, wherever the horse drops, I think we should just put up a tent and just eat them right there.
So we don't like to promote other podcasts, but if you have not checked out Anthony Jeselnik's podcast, it is a must listen. I mean, he is as unfiltered on his podcast as he is in his comedy specials.
It's gold. And I do thank you for turning me on to that.
And I have to admit, I'm a little upset with myself because I downloaded some background music for your New York City blackout story. I was going to play a little Billy Joel, Miami 2017, which, of course, the lights go out on Broadway. And I completely forgot to play that, so.
It's all right.
That's
what happens when you drink solidified Irish cream.
That was god awful. So please give us some disgusting. Better suggestions for Drink of the Week. Head over to the Facebook page, the Instagram, the Twitter. You can also vote for This Week in Racism on Facebook and Twitter. And go to the Contact Us page. We've been sending out stickers left and right. We still have a ton of them left. We're getting some great comments. We're getting some great questions. Getting ready for the podcast festival. So keep sending those in via the website. Brian, anything else today? Anything else good of the cause?
The one thing I wanted to say is that we are going to be introducing a new bit this Saturday at Tattooed Moms, the live podcast, which is listener questions.
All right.
And I know it's not an original idea. It's not something that's never been done before. But we have, you know, the questions are starting to come in. We've set aside. We didn't want to, start that bit on a regular show. But we have listener questions that we're going to be putting to ourselves as well as the live audience during the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. That maybe we'll see how it goes over in that room. Maybe it's going to be a regular bit.
All right, so email us at ronandbrianpodcast@gmail.com or just go over to ronandbrianpodcast.com, click on the Contact Us page, and there's a form right there you can fill out and send us your questions. We hope to see you in Philadelphia this Saturday, 12:30 p.m., July 20th, Tattooed Mom, 530 South Street. Brian, are we done for today?
We're good.
All right. Love you, my friend.
Love you more.
We're out.